Welcome everybody to episode 11 of I Stand at the Door. Before we get into it, we just want to say thank you to all of you who have reached out through email and for your kind words and for sharing your stories. It's definitely strengthened our testimonies, and we're just grateful that we can play a small part in your road to recovery and in your conversion and all of our conversion to Jesus Christ. So yes, thank you so much, and keep emailing us if you have a subject you want us to cover or a question you'd like us to answer. Email us at Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N, at istandatthedoor.com. We'll leave that email in the description of the episode. All right, so today we're going to get into a subject that I've covered here and there throughout podcasts, but this is a concept that is very useful to know, and I wanted to have a podcast dedicated specifically to it. And it's to the idea of the Marine Corps tactic of fire and maneuver and how that plays a role in the fight against pornography. So we'll just get into that. So in the past, I've talked about how the fight against pornography, it really is like a battle. It is like a war. And it's awesome because military tactics can actually play a role and be very helpful as we fight this spiritual battle. One of the tactics that I found very useful that I learned throughout my military training is the tactic of fire maneuver. So there's two different sides of this tactic. One is the fire side, and you actually find it in the name, the fire side, and then the maneuver side. And so let's talk a little bit about what that fire side is. So another word for fire is suppression. And what this means, and what the word suppression means, is that what you're doing is you're trying to suppress the enemy's influence on other elements of your team, I guess you could say. And so when you're giving suppressing fire, you're firing at the enemy's position. And obviously the best form of suppression is destroying the enemy. But sometimes you're not destroying the enemy. But what you're doing is you're firing at his position to keep their head down. That way they're not firing at you and other elements of your team. So if, depending on the enemy's capabilities and how strong the enemy is, you have to use heavier forms of suppression. So let's say the enemy has a whole city as a stronghold, and they fortified that city with artillery and with other very strong uses of weaponry. So what you might have to do first off is send in an airstrike. And that is a form of suppression. It freaks them out, hopefully destroys some of their weapon strongholds, and allows for you to move in closer towards the objective. Then, as you move in, you might use your own artillery, keeping the enemy's head down, keeping them scrambled, and not allowing them to get their sights down on you. Then, as you get closer, you might use mortars. Then, machine gun fire comes into play. And then when you're actually in the city and you're moving from house to house or from building to building, each individual rifleman is a form of suppression. And so the way that the fire, the suppressing fire and the maneuver work together is like this. When someone's laying suppressing fire downrange, another element is maneuvering to a more advantageous position so that they can start laying suppressing fire downrange, and that other element can pick up and start moving towards the objective. And you do this in tandem back and forth until finally you circle up around the enemy and you destroy the enemy and take the objective, right? Now, we have this saying in the Marine Corps that movement without suppression is suicide, and suppression without movement is a waste of ammo. So what that means is you shouldn't be firing at the enemy unless another element is moving, and another element shouldn't be moving unless someone's firing at the enemy. Now, how does this apply to the fight against pornography? And Savannah, you dive in a little bit. Talk about the fire, the suppression thing. What does that mean, suppressing the enemy in terms of the fight against pornography?
Yeah. So, like you said, suppressing fire, you're trying to keep the enemy's head down. So in other words, you're kind of trying to eliminate the immediate threat, mm-hmm. right? We're not necessarily triggers. The immediate triggers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with pornography, this could be, you know, maybe more shallow movements, maybe more like superficial things that are going to help to eliminate the triggers in your life. And then we'll talk about kind of the deeper things in a minute that has to do with the movement part. But when you're suppressing fire, when you're shooting at the enemy, trying to keep him, you know, out of your way, you want to start with your big guns first. Like, you want to do some pretty aggressive things to take out the pretty aggressive things that he's shooting at you, right? So for example, Hayden said maybe airstrike is your first big gun. I don't know how to use military words. Maybe airstrike is your first big thing that you're using against the enemy here. So maybe we relate that to, like, and these are all just examples, like, please think of your own in your own life, but maybe we relate that to, like, getting rid of your smartphone for a while and just using a flip phone. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a pretty aggressive thing that is going to knock out a lot of the enemy's, like, power against you, mm-hmm. right?
And one thing before we continue is that you don't use an airstrike in a situation where a machine gun would be fine, right? And so you have to understand how strong the enemy is and what type of firepower they're working with. And for every single person, it's different. And so be honest. Do an assessment of your situation of how strong the pull of pornography is for you. And if you need an airstrike to start off, then maybe you need to get, and I know people that have put their smartphones away for a little bit, got a flip phone, just got a SIM card, put it in the flip phone, and that's what they use for a while. And that way they can kind of have a clear head and allows them to start to maneuver.
Yeah, again, you're just trying to keep the enemy down for a minute. You don't have to, you know, scare yourself into thinking, oh, this is a permanent change. I'm going to do all these things for the rest of my life. Mm-mm. Because over time, you're going to start healing, right? Mm-hmm. But for this immediate threat, maybe that's, you know, the most drastic thing that you want to consider first.
Yeah.
Next example was artillery. Maybe something a little bit less drastic is deleting your social media accounts, mm-hmm. either permanently or for a while. If those are a trigger for you,
yeah.
right? That's another thing that can help to keep the enemy's head down.
For me, I had to delete Instagram, and I knew that that was a trigger for me to look at pornography. And so I tried deleting just the app off my phone, but I'd always re-download it. I thought I was good, and then it would lead me down the same road. So I actually had to physically delete my account. And so for a lot of you, that might be something you have to do, but it's worth it.
Again, reevaluate, see what your triggers are and see what applies to you. Okay, the next example Hayden gave, mortars. I don't know what that means, but I know it's less of a big deal than airstrike and mortars, artillery.
Yeah, mortars are, they're like, for someone who might not know, they're like little bombs and you drop them in a tube. They're like really big grenades and you drop them down a tube and it shoots them up in the air. And they can go like, I think as far as like a mile and a half. But you can also fire them as close as like 200 yards. And so it's really effective. It pretty much is just dropping little bombs from the sky.
Okay. So it's like something you'd use as you're getting a little closer, right? A little closer to the enemy. So maybe those are interventions like just changing the media that you consume. So think about the music that you listen to. Think about the movies that you watch. Think about the things that you watch on Netflix and all your TV shows. You know, think about what on the outside is influencing you and your decisions and your actions with pornography, right? Next example, a machine gun. You're getting a lot closer. Maybe that is putting parental locks on your phone. Hayden, talk about that because I know that's something that you feel pretty strongly about.
Yeah, I think it's... So a lot of people, they don't want to put parental locks on their phones, especially if they're older, you know, if you're 24 years old or 30 years old or whatever, you don't want to put these locks on your phone because it makes you feel childish. But we've talked about this in the past. Jesus Christ talks about how, we learn in, Messiah 3:19 that the key to overcoming the natural man is to become as a child and humble ourselves. So if you feel a little childish, then you're probably on the right track.
Exactly. All right. Our last example here, just an individual rifleman. You're super close to the enemy. Maybe you've already made a lot of progress. Maybe just something you want to keep doing to maintain your progress is keeping your phone out of your room. Charge it in the hallway. Don't bring it in. Don't even let yourself have that distraction and that temptation. So again, these are examples that we gave just to kind of give you an idea of what it might look like for you to just keep the enemy out of your way. Just keep his head down so that he can't have as much influence over you in the moment. Because the more immediate his threats are, the more they're going to catch you off guard. And it's going to be really hard to make any deeper progress because there are so many distractions and so many bullets flying at your head that you have to take care of those at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very important that, you know, when you're trying to overcome this pornography thing, that you have enough time in between relapses. Like, you're going to relapse, but you have enough time in between relapses that you can actually start making progress, that you can start discovering the underlying reasons of why you turn to porn. You can start implementing good habits into your life that can replace them. And that's key. And that moves us to the next aspect of this tactic, the maneuver aspect. So going back to that saying that I said, that movement without suppression is suicide. So that's what we just talked about, that, and you feel this, like if you don't have any of those blocks stopping you from getting to porn, you're going to keep running out, getting shot, running out, getting shot, running out, getting shot. And that's why you keep relapsing so often. Then the other part of that saying is suppression without movement is a waste of ammo. So what that means is you have a limited resource of ammo. And once that ammo's gone, then you're dead in the water. So what that means is putting these blocks on your phone forever and not actually maneuvering, eventually you're going to run out of ammo, which means eventually you're going to look at porn again.
You'll find ways around it.
Yeah. And so what you need to do is start maneuvering. Now, Savannah, talk a little bit about what does it mean to maneuver when it comes to this, when it comes to fighting pornography.
So when you're maneuvering, the point is like you're trying to take out the enemy. This isn't so much like distracting the enemy anymore. You're like getting to the root of the threat here. So if you're maneuvering in the sense of trying to fight pornography, there are deeper underlying issues that you're probably dealing with, whether you recognize them or not, that are contributing to your use of pornography. So for example, people turn to pornography if they have low self-esteem. Maybe you're turning to pornography because you want to avoid certain emotions or experiences in your life. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you're stressed out and this is something that is distracting you from your problems, right? And there are so many things that could be at the root of your pornography use. But like Hayden was talking about, if you aren't addressing these deeper things, you're not maneuvering forward, making deeper progress, you may run out of ammo. So Hayden, what are some examples of things that you did to maneuver, quote unquote, and to make like deep progress while you were also doing these other smaller things?
Yeah, one of the big things was I worked with my bishop or my priesthood leader. And that was very useful to be able to talk to someone openly, to receive. I even received a blessing from my bishop on multiple occasions, from my father as well. And I sought help. That was one way of maneuvering, was being open with people who cared about my spirituality and about my relationship with Jesus Christ. The other thing was I attended a 12-step program. I went to these meetings. I surrounded myself with people who were facing the same struggle and who were at different levels of their recovery. And this added more hope to my life, because during some points, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can't picture your life without looking at porn. But as you go to these meetings, you meet guys that have gone long periods of time or have made strides, and it gives you that extra hope to keep moving forward. The next part is like a very simple, elementary way of maneuvering is reading your scriptures, praying, trying to increase the amount of times that you feel the Spirit in your life. And as you start to make that reconnection with God and start to understand Him more, your relationship with Him more, then it really allows for that healing process to start. And I would say probably this last one was the most useful for me. Actually, I'm not going to say it's the most useful. It kind of helped me navigate the other ones. So it kind of like encompassed the other forms of maneuver, and it was going to therapy. being able to talk to someone that was detached from my situation, but also cared about me on an individual level was very helpful, because sometimes it can be hard to maneuver by yourself because, for example, I'm reading a book right now by Jocko Willink, who is a Navy SEAL commander, and it's called Leadership Strategies and Tactics. And in that book, he talks about an important thing for leaders to do is to detach from the situation. And he gives this example about how there was this one time they were doing a training op on an oil rig out in the middle of the ocean, and how they get up to the main floor of this oil rig, and it's just like very complicated with machinery. They've been learning that there's all this high explosive, high pressure things there, and so you can't just shoot anywhere. Like, you have to recognize the whole, all the dangers that it presents. And what happened was every single one of them got up there and they were scanning with their own rifles, and all they were seeing was they were looking for targets within their field of fire. And 12 of them were sitting there not doing anything. And it was because they were just focused on their field of fire. So what Jocko did was he stepped back and he looked at the whole situation. And by stepping back and looking at the whole situation, he detached and was able to see, you know, okay, this side looks a little bit more dangerous, so let's have one element stay there and just make sure that there's no enemy on that side, and the other element will move and flank from the right. And by stepping back and detaching from the situation, they were able to see it more objectively and start to make the proper maneuvers. And that's kind of what a therapist does. They're detached enough where they can help you make those maneuvers. Now, obviously, you know, Jocko called out, hold left, right, move, move. But if people decided they didn't want to hold left and move right, then it doesn't matter. So like, there is that element of agency where you go into a therapist and they talk to you and they talk you through things. But if you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to make those maneuvers, then it's useless. And so therapy was just very useful for me because of that.
I don't think that either one of us could say enough good things about therapy. I think it is from God. You just have this scientific genius who's like looking at your situation and can tell you like, I see this, I see this, I see this. Let's work on it together. And then you have someone who like, yeah, just like Hayden said, they can see it from the outside. And it's so, I love therapy. Go to therapy if you can. So like we said, these things are going to help you address your root issues, right? And so the whole point of maneuvering, whole point of even trying to take out the enemy is like, your heart is going to change. You are going to become closer to Jesus Christ. You're going to become more like Jesus Christ through all of these, you know, things that we're suggesting. And at that point, like, he'll change your heart. Like, at that point, once you work on these underlying things, these deeper problems, that's when, you know, you don't necessarily need a lot of these superficial things anymore, any of these forms of suppression, because you have changed. And that's, I mean, I see that in Hayden right now. Like, Hayden has a smartphone. He has social media. He has, what are the other things?
I don't have blocks on my phone.
He doesn't have blocks on his phone anymore. And I mean, he does charge his phone outside the room because that's a good idea. And he knows that helps him. But he is the kind of person now who has reached the point of like, that's just who he is he doesn't desire it anymore. He doesn't have that pull on him anymore because he addressed those deeper underlying things.
Now, that said, it is important that, you know, after you kind of take the objective, you know, like you've done the fire and maneuver and you've taken the enemy objective, you don't necessarily need all those forms of suppression anymore because the enemy's been destroyed. That doesn't mean the enemy's not going to come back. And so what you do is you start to fortify yourself. So I still read my scriptures every day. I still pray. I still go to 12-step meetings, and my role's kind of changed there now. I kind of act as that person that shows the light at the end of the tunnel, just like people did the same for me. And, you know, my music and media has changed for good. Like, there's certain things that I don't watch or listen to anymore just because they're not productive. They don't bring light into my life. And so you will get to the point where you are just changed. You're different and you don't need those things anymore. And you're going to end up being grateful. You can listen to our last podcast we did. And we talk about how at the end of this experience, once you've let Christ change you, then you'll look back and you'll be grateful for the things that you've learned. And I would never change this experience that I've had, because the things that I've gained are so much more valuable. Now, this idea of fire and maneuver is actually scripturally sound as well. If you look in the Book of Mormon in the war chapters in Alma 58, and you find the story where Helaman, who was one of the leaders of the army of the Nephites, was going up against the Nephites, or against the Lamanites, and the Lamanites' numbers were so much greater. And so he employed the tactic of fire and maneuver. It's a little bit different because they don't have guns and like everything's different, but it's the same thing, and you'll find this. So what happens is Helaman, he sends out Gid, who is someone that's below him in the chain of command, and then Teomner. And they both take two different elements. One goes to the right, one goes to the left, and they go out away from the Lamanites. And this is during the dark of night. And then the next morning, the Lamanites come on to Helaman, and Helaman kind of provokes them, and the Lamanites start chasing after the Nephites. And the Nephites run and run and run and run, and they send, the Lamanites send like their whole army to go and destroy the Nephites because they hate them so much. And what happens is those two elements that left, they go to the Lamanite stronghold where they just left a few guards. They take out those guards, and then they took out that stronghold. The Nephites, they run until they're almost to their stronghold, and the Lamanites, they back off because they don't want to get ambushed as they get closer to the Nephite stronghold. And so they turn back to go back to theirs, and then they find out the Nephites took that over and fortified it. And so that is an exact example of this suppressing fire and then maneuvering. And that's what you can do and you should be doing. And Christ wants us to be doing that. He wants us to utilize the temporal, seemingly superficial things in this fight against pornography. And then we can allow His grace and His atonement to change us on those deeper levels. All of these resources are from God, so use them. And I promise that you will find hope and healing through Jesus Christ once you start employing all these resources, once you start employing these tactics.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. That's a good place for us to end today. If you have any questions about anything that we've talked about, or if you, again, have topics that you want us to address, please email us at Hayden@istandatthedoor.com. Please also feel free to share with people that you know, leave a review and a rating for us, and that will help other people be able to find this topic and also receive the help that they need.
You snorted. We're going to leave that in. Thank you guys for listening.
I meant to say thanks again.
Bye.